This is Semper Fortis coming to you again at BlowTopSecret.com with a little bit of seasonal podcasting. This is a horror story, or a not horror story, depending on how you look at it. It really touched me when I read it, so I thought I'd read it to you. The Mother and the Dead Child. A mother sat by her little child. She was very sorrowful and feared that it would die. Its little face was pale and its eyes were closed. The child drew its breath with difficulty and sometimes so deeply as if it were sighing. Then the mother looked down more sorrowfully than before on the little creature. Then came a knock at the door and the poor old man came in. He was wrapped in something that looked very much like a great horse cloth, and it kept him warm, for he required it. It was the deepest, coldest winter. For without, everything was covered with ice and snow, and the wind blew so sharply that it cut one's face. The old man trembled with cold, and for a moment the child was quiet. The mother went and put some beer on the stove in a little pot to warm it for the man. The old man sat down and rocked the cradle, and the mother seated herself on an old armchair next to him and looked at her sick child that drew its breath so painfully, and then she seized the little hand. "You think I shall keep it, do you not?" she asked. "The good God would never take it from me." And the old man, for he was Death, nodded in such a strange way that it might just as well mean yes or no. And the mother cast down her eyes and tears rolled down her cheeks. Her head became heavy, because for 3 days and three nights she had not closed her eyes, and now she slept. But she only slept for a moment, and then when she started up, she was shivering with the cold. "What is that?" she asked, and she looked around on all sides, but the old man was gone. And her little child was gone with him. He had taken him. And there in the corner, the old clock was humming and whirring. The heavy leaden weight ran down to the floor and pop! And the clock stopped. The poor mother rushed out of the house crying for her child. Out in the snow, she saw a woman sitting in the snow, dressed in long black garments. And the woman said, "Death has been with you in your room. I saw him hasten away with your child. He strides faster than the wind, and he never brings back that which he has taken away." The mother cried, "Only tell me which way he has gone. Tell me the way, and I will find him." "I know him," said the woman in the black garments, "but before I tell you, you must sing me all of the songs that you have sung to your child, for I love those songs. I have heard them all before. I am Night. And I saw your tears when you sang them." "I will sing them all," said the mother, "but please do not detain me right now, for I may overtake him and find my child." But Night sat resolute and still. The mother began to wring her hands and began to sing and cry. And there were many songs, but far more tears. And finally, Night said, "Go to the right into the dark fir wood, for I saw Death take that path with your little child." The mother rushed into the woods, and deep into the forest there was a crossroad. She came upon the crossroad, and she didn't know which way to take, and there stood a blackthorn bush that had not a leaf nor a blossom upon it, for it was the deepest cold winter, and icicles hung from the twigs. The mother in desperation said, "Have you not seen Death go by with my little child?" "Yes," replied the bush, "but I shall not tell you which way he went unless you warm me on your bosom, for I am freezing to death here, and I am turning to ice." So she pressed the blackthorn bush to her bosom quite close, that it might be well warmed, and the thorns pierced into her flesh, and the blood oozed out in great drops. But the blackthorn shot out fresh green leaves and blossomed in the dark winter night, so warm is the heart of a sorrowing mother. And the blackthorn bush told her the way that she should go. Then she came to a great lake on which there were neither ships nor boats. The lake was not frozen enough to carry her, nor sufficiently open to allow her to wade through, and yet she must cross it if she was ever to find her child. Then she laid herself down to drink from the lake, and that was impossible for anyone to do. But the sorrowing mother thought that perhaps a miracle might be wrought. "No, that can never succeed," said the lake. "Let us rather see how we can agree. I'm fond of collecting pearls, and your eyes are the two clearest pearls I have ever seen. If you will weep them out into me, I will carry you over into the great greenhouse where death lives and cultivates flowers and trees, each of these being a human life. Oh, what I would not give to get my child, said the affected mother, and she wept more and more until finally her eyes fell into the depths of the lake and became two beautiful pearls. Then the lake lifted her up as if she sat on a swing, and she was wafted to the opposite shore, where stood a wonderful house miles in length and breadth. One could not tell if it was a mountain containing forests and caves or a place that had simply been built. But the poor mother could not see it, for she had wept her eyes out. Where shall I find Death, who went away with my little child? She asked. He has not arrived here yet, said an old gray-haired woman who appeared. She was going about and watching the hothouse of Death. How have you found your way here, and who helped you? The good Lord has helped me, she replied. He is merciful, and you will be merciful too. Where shall I find my little child? I do not know, said the old woman, and you cannot see. Many flowers and trees have faded this night, and Death will soon come and transplant them. You know very well that every human being has his tree of life, or his flower of life, just as each is arranged. They look like other plants, but their hearts beat. Children's hearts beat too. Think of this. Perhaps you may recognize the beating of your child's heart, but what will you give me if I tell you what more you must do? I have nothing more to give, said the afflicted mother, but I will go for you to the ends of the earth. I have nothing for you to do there, said the old woman, but you can give me your long black hair. You must know yourself that it is beautiful, and it very much pleases me. You can take my white hair for it, and that's something. Do you ask for nothing more? Said the mother. I will give you that gladly. And she gave her beautiful hair, and received in exchange the old woman's white hair. Then they went into the great hothouse of Death, where flowers and trees were growing marvelously entwined. There stood the fine hyacinths under the glass bells, some quite fresh, others somewhat sickly. Water snakes were twining around them, and black crabs clung tightly to the stalks. There stood gallant palm trees, oaks, and plantains, and parsley, and blooming thyme. Each tree and each flower had its name, and each was a human life. The people were still alive, one in China, one in Greenland, scattered throughout the world. There were great trees thrust into little pots so that they stood quite crowded and were nearly bursting the pots. There were also many that were weak, and yet they flowered in rich earth with moss round about it. They were cared for and tended, but the sorrowful mother bent down over all the smallest plants and heard the human heart beating in each. And out of those millions, she recognized the one that was her child. That is it, she cried. That is it. And she stretched out her hands over a little crocus flower, which hung down quite sick and pale. Do not touch the flower, said the old dame, but place yourself here, and when Death comes, I expect him every minute, but don't let him pull up the plant, but threaten him that you will do the same to the other plants. Then he'll be frightened. He has to account for them all. Not one may be pulled up till he receives his commission from heaven. And all at once there was an icy cold rush through the hall, and the blind mother felt that Death was arriving. How did you find your way hither? Said he. How have you been able to come quicker than I? I am a mother, she answered. And Death stretched out his long hand toward the little delicate flower, but she kept her hands tight about it and held it fast. And yet she was full of anxious care lest he should touch one of the leaves. Then Death breathed upon her hands, and she felt that his breath was colder than the icy wind, and her hands sank down powerless. You can do nothing against me, said Death. But the merciful Lord can, she replied. I only do what he commands, said Death. I am his gardener. I take all his trees and flowers, and I transplant them into the great paradise gardens in the unknown land. But how will they flourish there, and how it is there, I cannot tell you. Give me back my child, said the mother, and she implored him, and she wept and wept. All at once she grasped two pretty flowers with her two hands and called to Death, I will tear off your flowers, for I am in despair. Do not touch them, said Death. You say you are so unhappy, and now you would make another mother just as unhappy. Another mother, said the poor woman, and she let the flowers go. "There are your eyes for you," said Death. "I have fished them out of the lake. They gleamed up quite beautifully. I did not know that they were yours. Take them back. They are clearer now than before. And then look down into the deep well close by. I will tell you the names of the two flowers you wanted to pull up, and you will see what you were just about to frustrate and destroy." And she looked down into the well, and it was a happiness to see how one of them became a blessing to the world, how much joy and gladness she diffused around her. And the woman looked to the life of the other, and it was made up of care and poverty, misery and woe. "Both are the will of God," said Death. "Which of them is the flower of misfortune, and which the blessed one?" she asked. "That I may not tell you," answered Death. "But this much you shall hear, that one of these two flowers is that of your child. It was the fate of your child that you saw, the future of your own child." Then the mother screamed aloud for terror, "Which of them belongs to my child? Tell me! Release that innocent child! Let my child free from all that misery! Rather, carry it away! Carry it into God's kingdom! Forget my tears! Forget my entreaties and all that I have done!" "I do not understand you," said Death. "Will you have your child back, or shall I carry it to that place that you do not know?" Then the mother wrung her hands and fell upon her knees and prayed to the Lord in heaven. "Hear me not when I pray against thy will, which is at all times the best. Hear me not, hear me not." And she let her head sink down onto her bosom. And Death went away, carrying her child into the unknown land. That's been a little mild horror story from Semper Fortis for your pleasure this Halloween. Thank you.